Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm sitting opposite Lenny, who's in a very sunshine yellow linen top. That's ready for our guest. You look very nice, Mum.
It's the colour of the season, I'm told. It's called saffron.
Oh, it's saffron.
Yeah.
I'd say more. Is it? It's not as turmeric. Turmeric would be a bit more
maybe
orange.
A bit more. Yeah, I think it's a bit more.
A burnt yellow, should we say?
I don't know.
Very nice. In the background, you may hear my son getting
singing.
His nappy changed.
No,
singing.
Darling, let's not talk about that.
He's very into Emenike, Head and Heart, Joel Corry. You've been on food duty today. I've done the last two, haven't I?
Yes, darling.
I'm enjoying cooking. It's great. I'm sorry that I couldn't do it today.
Do you want to do it all the time?
No, but I'm sorry that I couldn't do it today. So I did ask you to do a lunch. I also requested the lunch. I hope she likes anchovies.
Well, she'll have to pull them out, won't she?
Tell the listeners.
I've made a salad niçoise. Strangely enough, I got the Ocado delivery this morning and the Ocado magazine had salad niçoise.
Oh.
They added capers, which I've never done before, and red onion. So I put those two things as well. So I thought that, and I bought quail's eggs because I thought they looked fancy. Not quite sure how long to cook the tuna for. I might ask her how she likes her tuna cooked.
Seared,
but they're quite thick steaks because I prefer thick to thin ones that will go dry. But how long would you cook it for, Jess?
I don't know. I don't mind it really like rare, so I'd probably, I don't know, 3 to 4 minutes on each side.
Okay.
Maybe?
Yeah, that's what I think I'll do. Have we got a griddle?
Yeah. I've also got a fire alarm that loves to go off when the griddle goes.
Not with all these doors open. Jessie, your kitchen's the hottest place in the universe.
Yeah, it really is.
It's kind of beyond tropical in here.
Yeah, I had a blow dry that was supposed to last the whole weekend. And alas, it shan't.
But at least you've not got grey hair anymore.
No, I now have like a line of brown around your head.
I hate that, where the dye's been.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, today we have an old friend of mine, actually. She's the loveliest, most energetic, generous person in the room. You know when she's in the room. She is a force of nature. She's fabulous. It's Jamie Winston.
Fantastic.
Who, one of my vivid memories of her is we were both at Glastonbury. I was heavily pregnant with my first baby and she was taking her little baby to Glastonbury. And I thought, wow, that looks like a lot of work. And she looked like she was just having the funnest time.
No, you only ever take them when they're in your tummy, darling.
Yeah, I won't take them either when they're that age. But I just thought, wow, she's rock and roll. Rock and roll. She's in 222 at the moment, which is in the West End. It's that ghost story, Lily Allen starting in it. They've had everyone from Lily to Cheryl to Jamie. And it's a massive success on the West End. I haven't been to see it because I don't like scary stuff.
To. Oh, I quite like it.
It's supposed to be like really...
Like Woman in White.
Yeah, I didn't go.
It wasn't that scary.
Oh. Right, well, maybe you won't
be
scared.
So she walks down the aisle behind you and then you get scared.
No, spoiler. So Jamie's in 222, but she's also in a new comedy series called Count Abdullah. It's on ITVX. She's acted since she was a young girl, obviously following in her dad's footsteps, Ray. And she's a big activist. She was really involved in Extinction Rebellion. And she also does loads of stuff for climate change and nature. but she knows how to have a good time, and I'm sure she's got a food story or two. She has a house, her parents have a house in Italy, and I really want to know. It's very much like we go to Greece every year, she goes to Italy every year. I'm sure she's got some really good recommendations from there. Jamie Winston coming up on Table Manners.
Cheers. Jamie Winston's in the house, and I was trying to be good, but my mum has just ruined it.
Mummy dearest has totally twisted my arm.
Yeah, well, you know.
It wasn't hard, Jamie, let's be
honest.
Yeah,
it wasn't hard, let's face it. It never is.
It's always a pleasure to see you. I usually see you in a field or in a club dancing, so actually I don't feel like we've ever really
sat
down for a dinner.
No, we haven't. I think the last time, James, my partner, my fiancé,
yeah,
was very, very excited.
Well, we're going to talk about you, but let's talk about your lovely other half's amazing
yes.
initiative.
Are you mad, yeah, which stands for Are You Making a Difference? And he's basically trying to change the face of being a waste man and how we recycle. And it's amazing because he's basically started this youth movement where you go to local businesses and you ask for the plastic, and then they bring the shops in, get all the plastic, show her kids how to wash it, clean it, melt it down, use the equipment and turn it into really amazing, useful stuff like sound engineering stuff or stage equipment or incense holders or
amazing.
Grinders, you know, whatever appeals mm-hmm. to the youth nowadays. And yeah, they're doing really well. It's amazing. I mean, yes, I'm about to marry a glorified dustbin man, which wasn't part of the plan. But you know what? It's cool.
It's
amazing.
Really cool.
And I'm really inspired by it. So yeah, well done, Jamesy.
So when are you getting married?
In October.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yes, it's very exciting.
Are you going to do it in Italy or are we...
We're doing it in Sicily, yeah.
Which, because I know you and I know you go to Sicily.
Yes.
You've been going
Mum and Dad
forever.
Live there for most of the year. My mum's not truly converted yet, but Dad is there whenever he's not working. It's just amazing. Sicily, have you been to Sicily?
Yeah.
It's just stunning.
It's incredible.
It just feels like it's the 70s for one. There's no real bouginess to it. It's quite...
Which bit are they, in the north or the south?
We're in Agrigento.
Oh, down at the bottom.
Down at the bottom.
That's the best bit.
Are you worried, because obviously White Lotus.
Oh my God.
Are you worried that every Tom, Dick and Harry are going to be there this summer?
I am.
Yeah, it's your place.
It's already started.
It's hard to get to Agrigento. Best
swordfish
I've ever eaten.
It's stunning, isn't it? The fish is amazing.
You see at night, there are these boats out with a big long pole at the front to catch the swordfish with the light on.
But
yeah,
it really is
the best
in the world.
The best swordfish I've ever eaten.
No, we absolutely love it. The best fish and seafood you're going to get. But it's also... obviously the good produce. Mm. So it's just, everything's really simple.
Tastes lovely.
Tasty and just good. It just feels like the simple life.
Let's talk about the play.
Oh my lordy.
How's it going?
It's going amazing. I'm absolutely loving it.
I don't know the play.
Can
what
you
part
please,
are you playing?
I'm playing Jenny, who's, I've been describing her as the hostess with the ghostess.
Oh, so you're not a prostitute this
time. I am not a prostitute.
Mum!
No, she's always a prostitute.
I am always a prostitute. Mom. I have just played a dominatrix. Actually,
you see,
is that
in
with Count Abdullah,
which came out yesterday.
Wow.
Actually, I've only played a prostitute once.
I know you have,
and that was a very
that
serious
very
drama in four lives.
I know. It was so you were so amazing.
Oh, thank
that.
You. That
I
was
loved
that was
it.
Dark.
So
yeah,
dark,
it was
but
dark.
So important.
But on that note, I have just played a dominatrix vampire.
This is on ITVX.
That's just come out,
and it's a comedy.
It's
series.
A comedy based about a Muslim doctor who is struggling with sort of culture referencing his life and the things he wants to do in his social life, and also balancing that with his religion and his culture. And he then meets me, Kathy, who's a 150-year-old vampire,
sure.
who's a part-time dominatrix, who has a taste in men and women that well, basically it's an AB positive blood type that she goes for.
Oh, that's what and I am.
Yeah. Oh, well, you'd be totally up my street.
Yeah, 4% of the country,
but it's halal, halal. Halal
I'm
blood.
Jewish, would that no bit, no?
Yeah, I mean, almost yeah. Just, yeah, it's almost don't, the same.
Kathy doesn't discriminate.
She tried it, but it's not her thing. She's, okay. You know, she gets her dinner at mosques, so it's extremely controversial.
It sounds brilliant.
Yeah, but it's really fun. It's really taboo, and it's really gets the conversation going of, you know, where do we place ourselves in society, and why do we sort of always fit with these types, blood types? But you know, it's a very play on culture and cultural appropriation.
Opposite?
And I'm playing across a great actor called Aryan Nick, who's amazing. Who's super hot as well.
So
super
it's
hot.
Horrible having to
suck
his neck.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Yeah, just sucking on his neck. Yeah. You know? You two are terrible.
Awful.
But Ghost Story.
Yeah.
Ghost Story has been so epic. We've, you know, I did see the play originally when Lily did it.
Yeah.
And sadly had to erase that performance because I just so desperately want to make it your own.
Yeah.
And that's what Danny Robbins does. He creates a really blank canvas of these four different characters, and they're all very ordinary people that we can all relate to as an audience. That's why it's so clever. But then it flips it on its head and it becomes quite supernatural. And
Jessie's scary.
I've heard it's really quite scary.
It is scary, and it's really funny.
Really?
You're one breath you're laughing, and the next you're jumping out of your seat, and you're kind of questioning like, wow, do I believe in that? It raises all these things in you. Where do you believe in the supernatural? Where do I sit in this class system? And it's very clever, and very relatable, and very scary.
So, how long do you do this run for?
I'm doing it till September. So yeah,
then you're getting married.
Yeah, and then I'm getting married. So my summer's a bit.
Different. This
different.
Year.
Yeah, it so, is.
Tell me.
I love you. Different.
I know your dad's Ray Winston.
Yes.
But who else is in your family?
So I've got my beautiful sisters, Lois.
Lois.
Who is
beautiful.
She is beautiful. She's magic and she's a force to be reckoned with. She's a rock star. She's the rock star of the family.
And what does she do?
She's a musician and she's also an actor. She's done stuff like Game of Thrones and. She's done loads of TV stuff, but her music is what's in her bones. And then my beautiful little sister, Ellie Ray, who is also training to be an actor. She's at the theatre school. I know. We're hoping...
What does your dad think about this?
Oh, you know, it's a bit of a nightmare because it's clearly all in our blood. But he's super proud. I mean, we're all so different.
Yeah.
You know, Ellie's very classic. You know, every time I've seen her act, she's just very... period drama and classic, and she looks like a little Marilyn Monroe. So we're all just so proud of her, and the age gap between us is 15 years. So we're all just like, oh God, she's so different and magical.
So what was the dinner table like in your... Because...
Well, growing up, you were only two
up,
of
there were only two of you, really.
Yes, two of us, and we had a very different upbringing to Ellie Ray. We grew up on a council estate where it was, you know, get a takeaway. Dad was always cooking. And mum was, but we got fed what was put in front of us, you know, as you do growing up. Ellie
what was
Ray,
the best dish your dad cooked?
Probably steak and chips. That was always kind of like quite a luxurious
it's
meal.
Special.
Yeah, but then mum would always, I always do this for my son as well. I always cook it, a good bit of haddock with a poached egg and some greens. And my son absolutely loves it. And it really... takes me back to when I was growing up because it just, even the smell when you know it's been cooked in the house, you're like, oh God, yes, we're having our favourite.
Do you cook your haddock in water or milk?
Milk.
Yeah.
I do it in milk. I actually don't drink milk anymore. I've really become sort of intolerant to milk. Every time I drink it now, it makes me feel a bit sick. So I'm an oat milker now. But when it comes to the fish, it's got to be milk. And it makes it so much more flavoursome and yummy.
Yeah.
And my son loves it.
That's so lovely, little
bit. How old's your son?
He's seven now.
Yeah,
seven.
So I was saying to mum that when
you've
got I
a
was
big
pregnant...
Boy,
I've got a big boy. I've got two stepsons as well, 13-year-old Rufus and 11-year-old Hudson, who are my stepboys, and Raymond, who's Raymond Jago, who is seven. Where does it go?
I know. So where did you grow up? Did you grow up in...
So I grew up in North London, Enfield.
Okay.
And then I was born in Camden. And then now I spent most of my time in Hackney in East London. Mm. But I've now retreated because you can't drive anywhere in Hackney and you can't do anything in Hackney. And it's a little bit... just got a bit expensive. And after the lockdown, I was like, I just need some space for my mental health. Mm. And I just need to look at nature a bit more. And I'm now in Hertfordshire.
You're happy there?
I love it.
Really?
I love it. I really feel like I've just had a breath of fresh air. And just watching Raymond, like...
And Big House.
Big House.
Good schools.
Good schools. Good, like, happy.
Why did you choose Hertfordshire?
It's quite near to my mum and dad.
Okay, yeah.
For the babysitting... It's, I mean, I don't really trust anyone with my child. It's a bit of a nightmare.
Oh,
you know,
dear.
Only best friends and parents. So.
Who looks after him when you're working?
My mum.
Oh,
my
so mum you don't
and James,
even have a nanny?
James works quite round the clock as well. No, we sort of tried a nanny and Raymond was just kind of like, this woman keeps following me around. He just didn't get it. And I was kind of the same, you know, and. It's, you know, when we go to Sicily, we have a Sicilian nanny, but, you know.
So when you go to work, what time do you have to leave to be at the theatre?
So now, when we was in rehearsals, I was leaving at 8 a.m. and getting home at 6 yeah. at night. So I was managed to do bed down time and read a book time and watch a bit of TV if it's a Tuesday or Thursday. But now I'm getting home at 11, so I'm missing, like... vital cuddle time.
Do you get up in the morning though? Because that's quite hard.
I do. I get up. I'm not doing the school run.
No.
Especially when like Count of Dillers on the TV. So I'm just kind of like, it's a bit full on. Like,
Mum's at the school gate, yeah.
Mum's at the school gate thinking like I'm this part time.
Without
dominatrix.
Her whip.
Yeah, without her whip. Like people just, you know, it's a bit odd. So I haven't been doing the school run, but I managed to do the pickup time, which is nice.
Have you
and
made
he loves
friends
it.
There?
What, at school?
In Hertfordshire.
Yeah, I'm not really like a neighbourly person.
Are you on any of the school mums WhatsApp groups?
I am, yeah.
They're quite full on. Yeah, it's quite being a voyeur.
But I wouldn't be able to do it without it, to be honest, because I keep up with everything.
I mean, thank God for people that actually read the emails.
Thank God, honestly.
God bless you, the people that
God
are proactive on those WhatsApp
all
groups.
All those mums that keep me on, like, even this morning I managed to buy... you know, the PE kit for the sports day, which I'm running in, but like, you know, I didn't know that they had to have a t-shirt and what color they are.
Yeah.
And so they really keep me in the loop for things.
Absolutely.
And they're coming to see my play and stuff.
Really?
So that's cute. You know, we can all get the train home
together.
So
you're still super close to your family?
Super close to my family. We're a tight-knit family. You know, It's quite crazy. But if Dad's back in town and I'm around, you know, Sunday roast is a must.
Okay.
You know, it's a big deal at my
house.
And
he's making it.
He's making it. We just get pictures. We literally get pictures just food.
So has he really come into his own now that he's like living in Sicily? Like,
but he works as well.
Well,
yeah,
I'm convinced, I'm convinced he does need his own YouTube channel because... he is obsessed. I mean, look at this. I just get pictures of meat covered in rosemary, like on the eggs. It's our religion.
Yeah.
It's, you know, eating. And I tried to do non-meat for a while and it turns out I'm anemic and I actually do need to eat meat.
Well, because you're quite an activist, you know. You were doing a lot of the Extinction Rebellion stuff,
yeah.
if I remember.
Yeah.
And also, are you... a patron or to certain, what's the charity?
For the Greenpeace, and I'm main ambassador for Save Wild Tigers, which is something that just is really close to my heart. I worked with Simon Clinton for about 10 years now. But when I first started, I just suddenly, for me, just becoming quite involved with Save the Wild Tigers, I was kind of like, this animal is just so regal and it represents so many women I know. And that was my kind of route into Save the Wild Tigers. And then it suddenly was like, God, they just don't have the space and they don't have the preservation rights and the poaching was just becoming... I mean, there's something like 3,000 wild tigers left in the wild and it's not long, 3,000. Mm. And it's, you know, although there's sanctuaries for them to survive and, you know, paths being created for them, it's, you know, we lose the tigers. We essentially lose the king of the jungle. And, you know, already the jungle's been affected by our everyday lives. But we lose the tiger. That's pretty much the beginning of the end in terms of the food chain and what happens next. The rhino's gone. And for me, it's just been a really amazing, because it's quite overwhelming, you know, and I think we all become really overwhelmed in the pandemic with, you know, actions and
doing the right thing,
thing and recycling and what we should do, and kind of got a bit overwhelmed with it. And I stepped back a bit because I was like, actually, I really need to focus on my mental health and what I do in my everyday life.
Did you find it hard, the pandemic?
I really did, because, well, for one, artists and singers and anybody in the arts were told to retrain, which is just reboot what you do, which is just totally ridiculous, because none of us would have survived without a book or a film or music or being able
what
to...
What would you do if you weren't an actress?
If
Rishi had it his way. Yeah, I struggled quite a bit because I found my frustration being like, but then again, I took pen to paper and I started really concentrating on my poetry and concentrating on, you know, stuff that I love. My podcast was born from the pandemic.
I want to talk about...
You were huge, actually. You were a huge inspiration with us with The Greatest Night Ever. You know, and because it was like, God, what... Where do I find my voice here?
It kept me going, the podcast. Really. Yeah. Because well, we did it by Zoom. It.
But let's talk about your podcast.
I'm going to go and show
because it's such a great idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the podcast was born from the pandemic and saying, God, I'm really struggling to find my voice. What is something that we haven't really heard out there? Because we were getting told, I mean, yours stands alone in its own right. We were like, God, we really, what would we want to hear? And sort of came up with this, well, just think about our greatest times and our greatest night ever. And God, it'd be great to hear about that and legitimately get like people's journeys. And, you know, the more we sort of dug deeper into it, it was more like, well, this isn't just about parties. This is about people's greatest moments in their life. Mm. And so we decided to kind of expand on that. And all of a sudden it was just kind of like, wow. We've got real legs in this. And, you know, I then had a boudoir that was kind of like, oh, imagine if we did it in a boudoir. And I actually bought a caravan to go on tour with it or to go to festivals and get people in after Amazing. Shows and talk about their greatest moments ever. And, you know, we were actually sort of pitching for a book at the moment. Well, we're actually writing in process of writing a book. And it just because it just had such legs and
But it's also an extension of you.
It is.
And that's what makes it authentic.
Yeah, I think.
You are the ultimate party queen.
Yeah. Yes,
but you are.
I do.
You
I bring, do love it.
You bring the joy to any room that you come to. And so for you to do a podcast that's about that makes total sense.
Oh, well, thank you.
But that's what makes a podcast work. So
that means so much coming from you because you are literally joy in music as well.
Oh, thanks, babes. But I think that's amazing. So do you enjoy it? Like,
I love it. You know what?
It is
a lot of work, but it is also, it's joyous. And you can tell people, you know, people have to do press routes all the time and it becomes quite exhausting. And this was just like, no, this doesn't need to be press related at all. This needs to be just you talking about what you love. Yeah. And, you know, it's been really enlightening, you know. And I think it's been really nice and insightful for me because, you know, we all got, I definitely got labelled as a party girl in my 20s. Yeah. And I think everybody parties in their 20s. Yeah. But the thing about me is that I actually love every aspect to what it is to have the greatest time. You know, it's not just about having fun, sticking some music on, getting drunk.
No.
They're actually, you don't really remember
I've been
those.
To Raymond's party.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You do it. You're doing a good time in the afternoon.
Yeah, we
with
like
a bouncy
it.
Castle bed.
Yes, we know how to
you
sort
know
of bring
how
the
to
elements.
Entertain. Yes.
And I think that's really important. And I think after the bloody pandemic, people were really told what to do. And, you know, this is how you just eat good food and do this and do that and, you know, represent this. And it was just kind of like, oh, God, you know what? Like, I'm done with that. What makes me happy and what makes us happy as humans is being social and also sharing moments that we love, like that spreads. That spreads like a healthy virus, yes. You know? And I think that was the tonic we needed. And it just was born organically and it got legs. I mean, I was called a glorious podcaster. It was really, it was a real special moment for me because I'm always kind of like, you know, once you're media trained, you're sort of like, God, you know, can I say this? Can I say that? So it just opened up a window of like ownership on, actually, I'm going to take that title back and I'm going to claim it. In a rightful way, rather than be like, oh God, you know, we can't do this, we can't do that. Like, of course, you know, I work really hard. And as a mum, like, I have the entitlement to dance and remember it and talk about it. And everybody feels like they're a bit like, oh, it's naughty when you talk about that. And it's like, raving is a part of my culture. It's who I am. Like, dancing in sweaty rooms and learning, figuring out what I love and, you know, vibrations, high vibrations. It's important.
Was it hard when you were labelled that in your 20s? Because you were an emerging actress.
Yeah.
And then you were obviously, you were in the tabloids quite a lot. So it kind of, it delegitimizes your...
Yeah, completely.
Did you feel like you had to really tussle
does.
With that?
It really does. Like lawsuits galore, you know, like it was, it's hardcore because I've never missed a day's work in my life. I've never not brought 110% to the job I do. I'm so lucky to be able to do what I do and continue to work. But it's a miracle I'm still working with the British press at that then, you know, they were cruel and mean and, you know, I don't think we need to go into that anymore because we've seen what happens. We lost loads of people due to it. And I think, you know, there's a tricky route that you play, but there's also a really strong belief in, like, if you let your work do the talking. Because, yeah, it's hard, but, you know, paranoia can play a massive part in... I think social media now is so much more responsible for people's careers and people have their own voice. Then we didn't have that. It was four papers on the tube going home and pictured in the same clothes that you were wearing. You know, it was kind of like a clash of the titans when it comes to social culture. But I just never really let it get to me, and I've never really respected fame in that light, as long as my work does the talking. But it was definitely hard, you know, where people are convinced you're one thing and It Girl was being flown around and Party Girl. And like, I think you just got to claim it, you know, like, yeah, I love to party, but God, do I love my job more. And, you know, God, do I know how to party responsibly. And
do you want it really well done or just not very well done?
How you do it?
I don't know.
Oh, medium then.
Let's go in the middle.
Let's go in the middle.
That sounds great,
that
Mum.
Sounds amazing. Oh my God, how lucky are we having your mum?
I just love the idea that you're going off to the theatre after
oh,
this.
Oh yes, I'm off
it's
to the...
so
I'm
fabulous.
Walking the boards, darling.
Doesn't that feel quite fabulous?
It is fab.
Have you done theatre that much before?
I have. I did a play years ago. The first time I stepped on stage was a play called Fastest Clock in the Universe, which was a Philip Ridley play. And it was amazing. My first character was... she was a 17-year-old crystal meth dealing, pregnant, pigtail wearing woman called Sherbet Gravel. And like, you couldn't get better role.
Amazing.
Like, for me, I was just like, oh God, can I do theatre? And
Sherbet Gravel's a really good drag name.
Sherbet Gravel. Great name. Well, that was it. I was like, oh my God, I love her already.
Yeah.
And then I walked on stage and I just was like, had this moment of, God, is this, am I going to be able to do this? Because, you know, stage fright's real.
Mm.
And the words just like spill out of my mouth. And I was just like, this is where I'm supposed to be. So even though I do a lot of film and TV, like stage is ultimately where I feel like I shine because I really buzz off. I'm an adrenaline junkie.
Mm.
So I really buzz off playing with the audience, not knowing what's going to happen. So yeah, she was great. And then I did something with lovely Russell Tovey.
Such
fabulous. A babe.
Amazing actor.
Amazing actor. And we did a thing called Sex with a Stranger at Trafalgar Studios. So this is, essentially, it's not really my West End debut, but it's kind of is, because it's kind of a phenomenal play. You know, it's kind of like, it's just been such a hit. So I'll roll with that, whatever, you know.
So I mean, I feel like everything's thriving for you. You are everywhere. You're on screen, on stage, you're doing podcasts. I mean, feels good at the moment, right?
Feels really good. Yeah, I'll take a moment in a way because it's a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication, and I've missed out a lot of being with my son this year, but you mix it up, you juggle.
Pardon?
Which plates?
They're fine, I think, yeah. Thank you, Mum.
Whoa! Oh, my God. Oh, my Lordy. This looks amazing.
You need a new one.
Do I? Why? Yeah, what's the matter with the griddle?
It was
didn't
not,
get the line.
It sticks.
Well, yeah, griddle always sticks.
No, it doesn't, darling. Mine doesn't. Well, it's yours... not oiled properly.
Oh, they're at it again.
Oh, this is nothing, Jane.
This
please help yourself.
Thank you so much.
The dressing
yeah.
Okay, wait, so tell me what's going on here.
It's salad niçoise. It's got everything in. So
yum.
It's got
some. Do you not eat anything?
No, I eat everything. Oh my God, that is delicious.
Good.
So fresh for a day like this as well.
Thank you, Jamie. I said, should we do, Mother? Should we do a tuna niçoise? She went, I don't want you to do it. Delicious.
Oh, it's delicious.
Perfect. Super. For a summer's day. Okay, Jamie Winston, we would like the Last Supper. You're going to a desert island for a year, let's say, and you're not going to be with all your favourite, I don't know, food and drink and stuff. What would you do? Starter, main and pud.
Okay. Your drink of choice. So my starter, I mean, I did think about this and...
Thank you.
But I thought, are we on a desert island? Because prawns is not the best option, is it?
Don't think about the desert. You literally don't have anything.
Right, okay, so I would definitely have a prawn cocktail.
Lovely.
I would have a prawn cocktail, but like a really grand, lots of sauce, lots of lemon, lots of pepper. Like, I can't have a prawn cocktail because it's just always... It's just delicious and it's refreshing.
Is there one place that you've had a really great prawn cocktail in your life?
Just at home. My dad does a really killer prawn cocktail.
Does he do with small prawns or does he do with the big
meaty
ones?
He does small, but he does big as well. But I like this small. I like it like I'm a kid. That's always my go-to when I was a kid. So it'd be a prawn cocktail. And then my main...
Mm-hmm.
This is really difficult because I don't want to sound like a basic bitch, but like it would have to be some serious like pasta dish.
Why
like
is
a
that
mac
basic?
Cheese, truffle mac cheese. Like that's going to keep me going. That's going to, you know, feed me up. I'm not going to eat for another 10 hours, let's face it, after a mac cheese.
You're thinking about this. You're going very method on the approach to the desert island.
Well, yeah.
Mac and cheese could be a side dish.
Mac on the side, please. And then obviously, like, I don't know, I like it all. I like, do you know what? That's when you ask, what do I eat? I eat everything. I'm really not fussy because I like good food. I like good produce. Mm-hmm. If it's good produce, then I'll eat it. But my favourite dish, it's probably a good bit of fish. Good bit of fish and a good bit of salad. But I find it hard to like knuckle down. There is one thing that I have to have with a roast dinner, and this is going to sound very weird and Welsh of me, but I have to have bread sauce with everything. Is that wrong? Lenny, you're looking at me like...
It's usually only with...
Like
usually,
offensive.
Then people have Yorkshire puddings with chicken, which I find really odd. But the kids love it, don't they?
Why would you deny yourself when it's delicious?
But it has to be with a roast.
So
roast
bread
dinner.
Sauce with a.
What's your favourite roast? Beef.
No, pork. Crackling. Okay. Pork crackling. Apple sauce. Homemade apples.
Sauce.
Tarty sauce.
Mm.
Apple and pear. Actually, Dad does this pear. Pear and James has started doing it now, and it's kind of like a pear syrup.
Yum.
With an apple sauce, and you put it in the oven for a little bit, so it kind of caramelizes. So it's kind of like soft.
But you don't eat pork, Jessie.
No,
I know.
You don't eat pork.
But you could just have the pear and apple sauce with a crumble,
sauce
even.
Amazing.
You know, you could go that way if you're feeling extra fruity.
Have you got a sweet tooth?
I do have a sweet tooth. I love anything syrupy.
In my later years, I've got a little bit more chocolatey. I didn't really used to like chocolate, but I like a sort of moussey thing now. But a tiramisu, yes, anytime.
Yeah.
Oh my lordy. Are they peaches?
They're peaches that I've done in, like, I mean, look, they have...
That is so up my street, okay, I cannot tell you.
It's peaches with a bit of butter and brown sugar, a mascarpone.
That is literally, like, my favourite dessert.
Good.
Amaretto on top.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Jamie, my son has joined the table, so anything
I'm so glad he has as well.
So food wise, can you cook? We've talked about Ray, and we've talked about James's apple and pear, but you,
I'm not really on this planet to cook. I don't think.
Okay,
but saying that,
that's a great.
I agree. I don't think I am.
I'm just, but I have been cooking, which has kind of got over my fears. I don't really like cooking for groups of people.
Yeah.
Get a bit nervous. I like to host. I like to be sous chef and do all of that stuff, mm-hmm. organise. When it comes to me cooking, I get really, like, quite nervous and then break something and then, like, make a whole thing. Like, when I went on Sunday brunch, I pretend I cut my finger because I was just so nervous.
Oh, bless
and I was, like,
you.
Made the producer swear. It was all a bit of a nightmare. But every night on stage, I am cooking a risotto. And it's kind of like...
Oh, it's dead easier.
It's not me, it's Jenny. So it's a
whole
new...
You're not as nervous in a different persona.
I am just like, I am domesticated goddess on stage.
Is Jenny great at risotto?
She's domesticated and she just knows what she's doing. She's great at risotto. She nails it. I'm cooking asparagus. I am like doing a stock. It's quite amazing, but... That's not me. That's Jenny.
Have you taken Jenny's recipe back home to Hertfordshire?
No. And I won't be ever eating asparagus risotto ever again.
I feel like that's mad that you can do it on stage in front of a room full of thousands of people, do a sofrito chopping onions and celery and garlic, yet you can't do it to a group of friends.
No. It's just weird. It's like, you know, different cloaks, I guess. I don't know. Like, I just... It's fine.
So if we were coming over, you'd host, but what would be on the menu? If Lenny and I were coming over, what do you think?
Should get a dad in to cook.
No, I wouldn't. No, James would cook.
Yeah?
James would cook because he is amazing. We'd do a really amazing wild tropical salad.
Ooh.
Use of mangoes, probably some Yum. Sort of mango in there, and probably a fish dish. We're really good at fish.
What's your favorite?
The collective we are good at fish.
We are good at fish. We do fish.
Which fish is your favorite?
He has been known to do but salmon probably a really amazing. Yeah. He does a really good salmon with like a garlic sauce inside and then
Yum.
Some dill and some dressing, lemon around it. Very simple, very good. Good bit of fish. You said you have a really good fishmongers, don't you?
Yeah, in Nunhead, it's amazing.
Was it
so good? Sopers. Really good. So, and pudding, what would be for pud?
Pudding would be... My idea of a really good pudding is a really good homemade apple crumble.
Mm.
Or apple and rhubarb crumble. But we are so spoilt now for where we are in Hertfordshire. We've got loads of good... Really good farm shops.
My heavenly shop is a farm shop.
It's just...
Give
I
me
spend,
a farm shop over Selfridges any day.
Hello?
Yeah.
Don't we spend so much money in there? And then you get like the gigantic life-size bottle of rosés. And you're like, that would look so nice in my garden. That's a piece of furniture. Buy a big candle to put in it just to buy it.
Yeah, I spend a lot of money at farm shops, and Pierce's is the one near me, and amazing meat, amazing fish. So really, if you've got a good bit of fish, you're winning, really. Yeah.
You're right. It is about the produce, because you can make it quite simple. If it's really great, it's...
We're making elderflower at the moment.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Yeah. I used to make it... Do you remember the Isle of Wight?
Did we?
I used to pick elderflower.
Yeah, do we love it. We've got it. It's been sitting at the moment. Yeah, Raymond picks it. And we used to do a really good mushroom tincture, which has been really amazing for the immune system.
Sorry, what?
Yeah,
gosh, really. Dr. Jamie, medicine woman.
We love it. So you go and pick
the
mushrooms, but make sure they're the right sort of mushrooms.
Got it.
You don't want to be tripping.
No.
You know what I mean? Well, it might want to be.
Have you been taught about foraging mushrooms? Because you can get it wrong.
Well, you can get it very wrong or very right. Depends on what sort of day you're having. But, I mean, I'm really open to it. I'm really open to sort of like the medicines from the nature, you know. I'm really into it because it works.
Do you want a bit of medicine, mister?
No, bless him.
And do you feel like it's helped? Have you seen completely
it's just like taking natural vitamins, you know.
What do you take for your voice?
Is steam it. Salt Rest. Water steam and salt water, you know, should really lay off the fags, but what can I say?
How much are they a packet now?
Someone I don't know. They're expensive.
Someone told me they were
19. I think they're £19.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I hadn't realised that.
It's disgusting. I mean, you can't really go from talking about tincture to bloody cigarettes.
But you did. And
but
I
did, and that's who I am. That's
but
me.
I hadn't really... Someone told me
bags
they were...
Bags of medicine all the way.
That, and I didn't believe them.
What the...
How expensive they were.
They are. They're ridiculous.
But it's to stop you smoking, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, I did try to vape for a while, but it's just... kind of hurt my throat more, dare I say.
You've kind of answered this already, but I wonder if you've got a nostalgic taste or scent that can transport you back to some a place that's good or sad or...
Cherry brandy.
Oh.
Cherry
I thought
brandy.
It was going to be the haddock and milk, but tell me about the cherry brandy.
Cherry brandy.
With avocado? With
no, cherry brandy, just lolly from... ice cream van.
Cherry brandy the ice lolly.
They're really good.
They're really good, but they've just gone
out of fashion.
Just this year, gone. So you can't, because I could get them up until last year, and all of a sudden they do them, but they're not the same. They don't taste the same. That old fashioned, real cherry brandy. Anything really cherry though, like cherry drops. Like when I was a kid, that was my naughty sweet.
Could I just ask one thing? I hope you don't think it's rude. You say you were born and brought up on a council estate.
Yeah.
And then your dad made it. Was your dad not working as an actor then?
No, he was. He was working, like he had done things like Scum and then did like a bit part in Get Back and had TV
and then,
jobs.
And then things happened for him.
And then,
was
yeah.
Was it Sexy Beast?
It was kind of Neil by Mouth. Okay. It was kind of... Gary Oldman and Kathy Burke, Neil by Mouth, that did it, and then it went on to Sexy Beast, and
so
we kind of moved
life
from.
Changed.
Yeah, it did dramatically. We moved from a council estate in North London to Bel Air, in Hollywood. You know, it was extreme, and like.
Oh, you actually lived in Hollywood.
Yeah, we lived in Hollywood. I lived there for. I mean, I've lived there twice, but I lived there for about. A year and a half, so we were there.
Wow,
it was pretty.
And then you didn't go back to the council estate.
No, we went to Essex.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's that's why it's always kind of like quite extreme because people always say, "Oh, what did you do?" Like, you know, school in terms of school and stuff. Like, I left school and we went to Bel Air, so it was very sort of one extreme to another. But we didn't really like it. You know, it never really fazed us, and it was like as soon as it kind of we kind of got bored in Bel Air. It's not that fun. Mm. People don't
gated
really socialise.
Community, yes.
Gated communities. It's just not. And my mum was, you know, after, you know, driving around in a nice white car for after a couple of months, it was bloody boring.
Mm. Yeah.
And Dad was always on set, and I worked with my dad. I was a runner for years, and that's how I kind of learnt how to sort of navigate on set and how cameras work and how directors work and TV and film, and And my first, I was a runner on, you know, a Spielberg film. That was like my first sort of school job.
But you're still so genuine and warm and real.
Yeah, because I think it's a job, isn't it? Like, you know, I think that's like the big illusion sometimes. And, you know, I've worked with some people that really play the role of a star, and I get that, but like, doesn't do themselves any favours. I think, you know, if you really just stay true to who you are and let your talent speak, like, you'll be successful. Mm. And also you can live your life instead of being like this sheltered little... Because that doesn't look fun, you know? Like, no. I think it's better to just stay grounded. I mean, obviously, like, it's nice to be major.
You are major. And on that note, you're about to head off to the West End.
I'm off to stage, darling.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
Best of luck with the run. Best of luck with Count Abdullah.
Thank you for my food as well.
Wedding.
Stunning.
And the wedding. You've got so many brilliant things.
It's a nice year this year, you know.
You deserve it.
Thank you. Love you, ladies.
Good.
Maybe I'll see you in a field one time soon. Maybe.
It's happening.
Good, darling.
Jamie Winston, she's such fun.
Delightful, lovely, warm person. Love being with her.
So warm, and she's never changed. I love it. She just said, she just lit up a fag after that. She's going off. No voice rest for Jamie today. I apologise in advance if she loses her voice this weekend from gassing with us.
No, she's just a delight, wasn't she?
She's
good
fun. Rock and roll, the best kind of rock and roll, isn't she? Thank you, Jamie Winston, for coming over before a weekend run of 2:22.
Yeah.
We're going to go and see her.
Can't wait.
She's on until September.
Fabulous.
Count Abdullah is out on ITVX now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Jamie playing Kathy, a dominatrix.
A bit of S&M.
I think she'd be fabulous at it. I'm thrilled for her. It was a real pleasure to have Jamie in the house.
She was wonderful.
The tuna nicoise was delish, Mum.
Fabulous.
Why do I need a new griddle? Should I just sack that griddle off?
Well, I think you either have to season it by rubbing, when you wash it, rub oil on it, and it will season it a bit. Because I put olive oil on it and it's still stuck, like really stuck. So it needs a good wash and then rub olive oil on it to sink
in. If anyone knows how to season...
It's olive oil, darling.
Okay. Because my wok that I bought too looks an absolute bugger.
Yeah, you have to rub it with the oil.
Okay. Anyway, my little peach thing.
Delicious. Stunning.
Quite nice.
Really fabulous.
It's amazing what butter and sugar and mascarpone can do, isn't it? Thank you for the little amaretto biscuits that I crumbled on
top. Those are nice, aren't they?
Great. I don't know how you've still got them in your house. Where do you get
them? They're probably about a year and a half old.
Oh, great.
Alice brought them about 2 years ago. They're all right.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.